Thank you, Susan. That was a wonderful reading of a very important scripture passage and so relevant for today. These last 7 days, actually 9 days of worship consecutively, have been wonderful as we worship and gather it in the morning at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and then today we're gathering in the daytime, and even last night and the week before we gathered it Saturday night and morning, noon, and night. It's just a wonderful thing to gather and worship God, and a great beginning of the new year as we get in touch with the stirrings of God that is in our hearts. This series that we're calling Stirrings is intended to help us connect with God talking to us and to connect with God trying to reach into us and stir us to be His disciples, to be His children and His people. And so today we're looking at this call of Samuel. I'd like to put it into context so that you can see just how relevant it is to today. Samuel was a liminal figure. He was a transitional figure coming in at the end of the book of Judges, kind of, as the judges were waning out. And he ushered in the era of the kings, anointing King Saul and then later King David, and was a great prophet through many of those decades of under Saul and David. But this time when he was a little child, working at the temple as an assistant to the priest Eli, it says that the voice of the Lord was very rare in those days, and visions were quite uncommon. And as you look at the book of Judges, you see that we have a lot of wonderful judges like Gideon and Ehud and Deborah. And then as they progress on down, they kind of degenerate and disintegrate into more and more flawed judges like Samson. Until finally at the very end of the book of Judges, it says, there was no king in Israel in those days. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. I don't need to point out to you how we seem to be living in the same kind of days. When we have kings, we have a president, but we're losing, we have no one that has moral authority. Everyone simply checks their own conscience and does what's right for themselves. So it's the individual that is the moral authority nowadays. And we don't hear the voice of the Lord as clearly as we used to. We don't see the visions that are cast before Him as well as what used to be. And so it is in this context that Eli is laying in his bed right next to the Ark of God. Ironically, so close to God and yet so distant from hearing Him. And the good news of this story is that in these times when the Word of God is so rare, when there is no moral authority in our lives, and when the lamp of God is just about to go out, that is when God speaks so that we can hear. So we watch Samuel, and he's hearing the voice, but he's not recognizing who it is. And he goes to Eli and says, here I am, meaning in that language it means I'm ready for your service. I'm reporting for duty. What can I do for you? Here I am. Eli, what can I do? And Eli keeps saying, no, it's not me. And finally he says, I think you're hearing God. Next time, say, here I am, speak. How do we get to that point where we can hear like Samuel heard? We all have trouble hearing from time to time. My sense of hearing seems to go up and down depending on whether it's Philip talking to me or Sue talking to me. I don't know how that works, but you know, it's just the way it is. And the truth is I'm kind of hard of hearing anyway. I have two hearing aids, and sometimes I struggle, especially when there's a lot of ambient noise in the room, a lot of distractions, okay? If those of you who have hearing loss understand and share with me that situation. But as hard as my hearing is, I have to say my mother's hearing is so much worse. Oh, she is so hard of hearing. And back when she was married to her husband, Ken, he was also hard of hearing. And what a circus it was to watch them try to communicate to one another, because they would always misunderstand each other, you know? Like, she'd say, "It's windy." And he'd say, "No, I think it's Thursday." "Well, I'm thirsty too. Let me fix some tea." "What's wrong with your teeth?" And on it would go. Truth is, we all have trouble hearing sometimes. And that's never more true than with our spiritual sense of hearing and our spiritual sense of vision, that we have to work at it to use that spiritual sensitivity and draw closer to God in that way. That's a large part of why we're going through this 21 days of worship, prayer, and fasting, because fasting empties out a lot of the stuff that's distracting us from the Word of God so that we can better hear what God is saying. It's kind of like having a radio and tuning it in. Those of you who live and were born in the days of digital radios, you may not be able to relate. But when I was a kid, we used to have an old antique radio, turn of the century kind of thing. And we inherited it from my grandmother. It had three dials on the front. There's the volume knob. There's the tuning knob to tune to the right frequency. And then the third knob was a fine-tuning knob so that you could tune it in even more finely. Because if you're just looking, you know, the radio waves are coming from all over the place, but if you're not tuned to the right frequency, all you hear is a bunch of static, or you may even hear some other voice that you're not trying to tune into. So tuning our spiritual senses is kind of what we're talking about today. How do we do that? I'd like to suggest that there's four things that might help us. First of all, clear out all the distractions, right? We live in a most distracted time. A lot of the things that we go through in life are part of the human condition and have been throughout generations. But this generation, more than any other, is bombarded with more information and more truth claims and more people vying for your attention and for your dollars and for your support and your support and all that kind of stuff, so that there's never a time when you're not hearing two and three things at a time. So get rid of those distractions and find that quiet time like Eli did when he was laying in his bed. That's why so many people who develop the discipline of daily Bible study and meditation and prayer, they often do it first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening when there's nobody else vying for their attention, and they can turn off the radio or the TV and they can just focus and say, "God, what do you want for me?" And it's not just a matter of auditory distractions. We have all this mind talk going on. If you really want to hear God, then stop talking to yourself, right? You gotta shut up every once in a while if you're going to listen to what God has to say to you. So it's a matter of calming down all that mind talk as well. Secondly, we need to be ready to hear. Be ready to hear. You think, "Well, gosh, I'm listening. Isn't that being ready to hear?" No, not necessarily. What is it that God might have to say to you that you're not necessarily anxious for him to say? Are you ready to hear that? Are you like Samuel, who was standing at attention and saying, "Here I am, what do you want?" When my son Daniel was a little boy, I once called him to supper, and he didn't come. And so I called a second time as we were getting the table set and everything, and again, he didn't come. So finally, I went looking for him. I found him in the living room, plopped down on the floor right in front of the TV, watching this purple dinosaur named after his Uncle Barney. And I said, Daniel, didn't you hear me? It's time for supper. And he said, well, Daddy, I'm not ready to hear you yet. I guess Barney the dinosaur was more attractive to him at that moment than the chicken and broccoli casserole that I'd made. So you have to be ready, which means sometimes you have to be ready to hear the things you may not want to hear. It may be a prompting for you to do something that you're really afraid to do, or it may be confronting you with something that you've been trying to hide from the Lord, which is folly, of course. Or maybe God is trying to encourage you along when you're already too busy beating yourself up. Whatever it is, ask yourself, am I really ready to hear from God? So you do away with all the distractions, you feed your focus and you starve your distractions, and you don't let the noise of the world keep you from hearing the voice of the Lord. And then you ask yourself, am I really ready to hear what he has to say? The third thing you have to do is listen expectantly. Now, if you're a person who kind of believes in God in a loose sense of the term, but don't believe that God is really all that active in the world, but you still believe in him, it's going to be hard for you to hear because you're not really expecting him to say anything. But if you believe that your God is active in your life, is calling you for a purpose and leading you in a way and getting you in touch with people that you need to know and speaking to you, then you can listen expectantly, knowing that God has something ready for you. Not just something ready for the world in general, but something specific for your situation, something specific to what he is calling you to do, so that he can claim you as his child for his purposes in kingdom building. You have to be expectantly listening in order for that to happen. And then fourth, we have to use our spiritual disciplines to sharpen our sense of hearing. Our spiritual disciplines would be things like prayer, meditation, fasting, worship together, Bible study, talking to one another, encouraging one another in support groups. All of these, I don't want to use the word sacrament because that has a specific definition, but all of these are God's way of touching you in very real and tangible ways, so that you can clear out your heart and make room for what God has to say. I especially want to call your attention to the Bible study. I don't think we do that enough as a congregation. And I'm so glad that Bill and Linda McBroom are starting up the Disciple One class again, and they've modified it a little bit so that it fits with the Wednesday night supper schedule. It's going to be awesome. And there's no other Bible study anywhere. If you want to grow deeper with God and get a big picture understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, so I commend it to you. If you haven't already connected in a Sunday school class or some other small group, it's time to do that. And it's one of those things that will help you hear the voice of God. Years ago, when I was considering going into the ministry, I already had, had a good job at Emory Clinic, and it was a difficult choice for me to make, to make those kinds of sacrifices to become a minister, and I was looking for God to tell me something. It just so happened, though, that I had a conversation. I was talking on the phone with one of my friends who is an administrator in the ophthalmology department, and I was teasing him about his beat up old car, because we always kind of teased it. He always had the junkiest old car, and he said, well, there's a reason why I keep that car. And he started talking about his dreams of being a missionary. He was a Mormon, and he had a lot of kids, Mormons, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He was Mormon, and he had this dream that he could stop working for a year and go on mission and share his faith with others. And so he was saving every penny he could, hoping that car would last long enough that he could save up a year's salary to keep up his family and his household while he did this mission. He said nothing about my call. He really didn't even say the word God. But since I was listening expectantly for what God had to say, and since I had been prayerfully asking God to show me, something touched me in that conversation, and it became the last piece of information I needed to go back and say, yes, I want to be a minister. And so that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been listening expectantly and if I hadn't been going through the spiritual disciplines. It would have been just another conversation that I enjoyed with my friend. So for each of us, we have the opportunity to be Samuels in this world, to listen in the silence of the night with expectant ears, knowing that God is calling us, having it on faith that God is already talking to you. You just need to tune in to the right frequency, and there it is. And we can all, as a congregation, one by one, and corporately as a group, say, here I am, Lord, speak. We're ready to hear. Amen and amen.